Blog Talk Radio.
He is a reality TV star with world high stakes golf. He is a humorous and why not?
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorous and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever been broke? Haven't we all? Now let's take it to another level. Have you ever been over 50 and broke? Now that's problematic. Tell me, can you imagine losing your job and house and then having to move in with your ex-wife? Wow, that's a rough one. Now another question. Do you eat when you are depressed? I suppose living with an ex-wife would fit into the depressed category and probably would drive anyone to eat. Have you ever heard about an amazing book called Age Should Never Be an Excuse for Not Succeeding, Restoring Hope in Your Life? If you can say yes or maybe to any of these questions, you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a success coach extraordinaire. He will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I'm pleased to announce that our show now has over 1.7 million listeners to date. Also, LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during 2012. Now, let me tell you about our guest tonight. My guest was born and raised in New York City. He worked in a variety of jobs after high school, such as a printer, bartender, and real estate. After getting married, he moved to Florida, where again he had a variety of different jobs ranging from construction, selling vacuums door-to-door, to auto sales, before he opened his own mortgage business. His own mortgage business was great. It was at the height of the housing boom. His office was in the Century 21 building, so he had a lot of walk-in traffic, and life was very, very good. But as we all know, all good things must come to an end. When the housing meltdown hit, things went downhill in a hurry. My guest went from doing 6 to 7 loans a month to 5 a year after maxing out all his credit cards and using what savings he had to stay afloat. He eventually lost the business along with his car repossessed, and he was evicted from his apartment. However, his biggest humiliation was when he had to call his ex-wife for a place to live. That was probably the lowest point of his life. Faced with little options, he turned to the only thing available to him at that time, the computer. However, not being computer savvy, he had to sit down at the computer 7 to 9 hours a day, and it turned out to be the most frustrating and aggravating thing he had ever done. But he found the courage to reinvent himself. Now, at age 60, he enjoys being an entrepreneur, public speaker, trainer, and an author, as well as having a series of videos on YouTube called Over 50 and Broke, and a website with the same name. His latest book entitled Age Should Never Be an Excuse for Not Succeeding, Restoring Hope in Your Life, is now available at Amazon. He wrote this book for all those baby boomers out there who find themselves over 50 and broke, just as he was. Like he always told his kids, when something bad happens in life, you can do one of two things. You can sit in the corner and cry about it, or you can get off your butt and do something about it. The choice is yours. I am very pleased to welcome to the show today Chris Vacca. Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
January, how are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm so excited about having...
Oh, you know, I started to cry. That's such a sad story you were telling.
I know. But you know, it has such a wonderful, wonderful, happy ending.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about what it was like when you were born. You were raised in New York City. Tell us about it. Who were your early mentors and who were your heroes when you were a little boy growing up?
Well, you know, I grew up in the 50s, 50s and 60s, completely different than kids today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my heroes, you know, like cowboys, frontiersmen, Daniel Boone, Davy Crockett, you know, guys like that. George Custer was one of the big ones. You know, now we used to play cowboys and Indians all the time. I don't remember the last time I see kids playing cowboys and Indians.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's politically correct to do that these days, you know.
Probably not. How many kids were in your family, and did your mom and dad work, and what was your childhood like?
I'll tell you, I had a great childhood.
Wow.
I grew up, the whole family lived in one building.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents. I mean, it was amazing. There was always family around. It was such a great way to grow up. It really was.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, my father was a truck driver.
Uh-huh.
And my mother was pretty much a stay-at-home mom until, you know, we got older. As kids, we got older. Then she went to work. She was a bookkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice having always family around, you know. And the family that didn't live in the building lived in the building next door. So,
How many brothers and sisters did you have, Chris?
I have one brother, two sisters,
uh-huh.
and about 23 cousins.
Oh my gosh!
So,
yeah.
it was pretty hairy, especially around the holidays. Cramming everybody into one little apartment was kind of rough.
I bet. Now you went to high school, and then were you able to go to college?
No. And I just, let me tell you something. I just barely squeaked out of high school. I was not a good student. I was not a good student at all. But you know, the funny thing, you know, when I was in school. You know, they force you to read this. You have to read this and Shakespeare and this and that. And I always had my sister do my book reports for me.
Okay.
You know, she was the studious one in the family. But I started to read after I got out of school because I found things that I was interested in, and I started to do more my reading after I got out of high school.
Well, what was the first job that you had once you got out of high school?
I went to a printing high school, New York School of Printing. So I ran a printing press.
Okay.
And I did that for a couple of years, and I got tired of my hands being dirty, you know, all the time. It, you know, I leave Friday night to work. Sunday night, I finally have all the ink out of my fingernails. And then Monday, bang, I go right back to work and start over again. So I got out of that, and I got into bartending.
Oh, that's always fun. And then real estate. Now, tell me, how old were you when you got married and moved to Florida?
I was 31.
31?
31. I held out as long as I could. I just couldn't make it anymore.
So what happened was that I was in
real estate when, you know, when I met my wife and we got married. And we had bought a condo down in Florida, you know, as an investment. And one day we were just sitting at the kitchen table and said, you know, why don't we just move down here and try it? If we don't like it, we could always come back. And,
sure.
I've been down here ever since, unfortunately. But
oh, wonderful. What part of Florida are you at?
Port St. Lucie.
Okay. Oh, that's wonderful.
It's a little bit north of West Palm Beach.
Okay. Yes, that's a lovely area. Okay. So then once you got to Florida, you went, you did construction. You were selling vacuums door to door and auto sales. Tell us what it's like to sell vacuum cleaners.
Door to door is rough, especially in Florida. You know, if you're talking July and August, walking up and down the street carrying a vacuum.
Oh,
in 90-degree heat with 100% humidity, it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun at all.
But it was
a job. It was something to do. I found it really difficult to find something I liked when I moved out here. It's not like New York City. We have pretty much to pick up what you want to do.
Sure.
You know, so I did what I had to do to support a family.
Okay, and then how many children did you have at this point?
At that point, I had two. All right. Then I eventually had another one. I have a total of three, two boys and a girl.
And now what prompted you to open up your own mortgage business? Was it from your experience in New York in real estate?
Well, what it was, when I was in the automobile business selling automobiles, a buddy of mine left and got into the mortgage business. And, I stayed in contact with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me how good it was, and it's, you know, a lot of fun. You make good money, la-da-da-da-da. So I said, all right, I'm in on that. I said, I can make some money. So I decided to do it. Now, you know, I went to school, got my license. I started to work for an office in the area. And I worked there for about 6 months, and I said, you know, I got to get my own place. I mean, I'm putting in all the work, and this guy's taking half my commission. You know?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I said, I need 100%, 100% of the money I need. So that's when I decided to open my own place.
Okay. Now tell us what happened when the market crashed and suddenly it was all gone, bam. What went through your mind at that point?
Oh, man, what didn't go through my mind?
I ran
the gamut of every negative thought, negative feeling that you could imagine. You know, losing everything at any age is bad enough. I don't know if you're 20, 30, 40, something like that. I don't care what age you are. If you lose everything you have, it's pretty rough. But being so close to retirement like I was, because I was like 56, 57, and I was looking forward to a happy retirement because business was so good. And when everything crashed, I went from doing, like you said, you know, 6, 7, 8 loans a month to like 5 a year. And my income went from $100,000 to $19,000 the next year.
Oh, so, my gosh.
That's a big hurt. That's a big hurt.
Now, we're talking major depression here. Did you start eating? That's
no,
what
I
do.
I started drinking a bottle of scotch a day. No.
Okay. Eating and drinking. Okay.
No, I didn't do that. But it was pretty rough. Well, you know, I started using my savings with habit, credit cards. But, you know, my first goal was to keep the business going until, you know, hopefully the mortgage market, the housing market came back, which, you know, unfortunately that never happened. So after I lost everything, I got evicted from my apartment, and my car got repossessed, and I really had no place to live. I mean, I did if I wanted, but I didn't want to burden, like, friends of mine. They had their own wife and family and everything like that, so I couldn't do that. But me and my wife always kept on good terms. We were pretty much friends.
Uh-huh.
So I called her up. I mean, it took a lot for me to do that.
I bet.
You know, being a man, it's kind of hard to call back to your ex-wife, but I pretty much had no choice at that point. You know?
How long had you been divorced when you had to make that horrible phone call?
About a little over a year, year and a half.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't that long.
No, it wasn't that long. So, and then, you know, because since we had the kids, so we kept in touch with each other. You know, we went to events, you know, for the kids, and she was there, I was there. So, you know, it was simple.
Very, that's wonderful to hear. You don't hear about that so often. You know, talk about hearing. We're going to take a break and hear about your host. And when we come back with Chris Vacca, we're going to talk about what he did after he had to reinvent himself what obstacles he had to overcome and how he had to make friends with his computer. We'll be right back with Chris Baca. Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable, someone who has touched your heart and soul, people who have faced difficult problems, people who fearlessly shared their stories, people who have priceless personalities? I've been fortunate to host a talk show called Danny Ware Jones Sharing Success Stories, and it's been my privilege to interview hundreds of guests. In my new ebook, we're talking about people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, and even polygamy. Then there are my guests dealing with physical struggles such as blindness, cancer, and birth defects. All of my guests have been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. I look forward to sharing them with you in my new ebook, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones. The introductory offer of $4.99 is now available at Amazon.com. Order it today. Welcome back with my wonderful guest, Chris Baca. He's been sharing with us how he had to reinvent himself once everything went down the crapper, so to speak, when he was just 57. So what did you do? Did you you said you gained 50 pounds after this all happened.
Yeah, well, what happened when I was at my wife's house, you know, first thing on my mind was, you know, try to get a job or find something to do.
Yeah.
And so I started sending out resumes like crazy, you know, bang, bang, bang. I must have sent out 100 resumes and got nothing in return. So, you know, I decided, I say, you know, I slapped myself in the face. I said, Chris, you got to do something. You have to get something. You have to develop some kind of income. And since I don't live in a big metropolitan area, you know, there's no subways, buses, or anything like that around. And my car was gone, so I was pretty much stuck in the house.
Uh-huh.
And the only thing handy was a computer. And I started to go on that, and I started to do search the computer every day. And I found out one thing which really hit me was that there's over $4 billion every year generated online. $4 billion.
You're kidding.
And I said to myself, you know, I could give me a little piece of that. I got to carve out a little piece for myself. So I sat on the computer because I wasn't too computer literate at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only thing I really knew how to do on the computer was probably print out loan applications and play solitaire, and that was, you know, that was pretty much the extent of my knowledge. So I sat on the computer 6, 7, 8 hours every day.
Really?
Trying to learn it. Yeah, it was probably the most frustrating and aggravating period of my life, learning that.
Did you take any classes to accelerate the process, or did you do it all on your own?
No, I did it all myself online, sitting here by myself.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you got to learn all the new terminology and how to navigate around everything.
Oh,
and, you know, there's a lot of people out there, I'm sure, that, you know, they say, Chris, what a dummy you are. That's so easy. I said, well, it's easy once you know how. I mean, now it's easy, but when I first started, it was rough. It was really hard.
Oh, listen, I know you're not preaching to the, you're preaching to the choir here, because I'm approaching 70, and I'll tell you, learning, becoming computer savvy and getting all this information, processing it and doing it has been one of the biggest challenges in my life. However, I must admit, it's been one of the most exciting and fulfilling things that I've ever done. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was totally amazed of what you can get at a computer. I mean, you literally have the whole world at your fingertips at that computer. You can go to any country. You could do anything. I mean, even to this day, when I check my websites and I see where all the traffic is coming from, and I get traffic from all over the world, from Russia, from China, from Argentina, from Australia. I mean, it's unbelievable. Just sitting here by yourself, you know?
I know. It's totally amazing. And every day, every time I see the numbers and realize that this particular radio show has over 1.7 million listeners from all over the world, I'm just so in awe and humbled. And it's such an exciting time to be alive. Now, when did you come up with your, I love your idea, over 50 and broke? That's brilliant. When did that come to you?
Well, actually, as I went along, I was in contact with some other internet people. And this guy was telling me his story, because he has a sad story, too. And I told him mine. He says, Chris, you know, you should really put something online about your experiences. He says, there's probably a lot of people in similar situations like you are, and you should really, you know, get it out there. Let people know that there is a way back after losing everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, you're probably right. And I started to think, and at first I was thinking over 55 and broke, you know, and it just didn't have the ring. It didn't have the ring for it, you know. And so I said, over 50 and broke. That's bing. I said, that's it.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
And then I started working on that.
So then you set up a website. Did you start blogging, or how did you get yourself out there?
Well, actually, the Over 50 and Broke website came a little later on. I had put up about two, three websites before that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working hard on them to develop them. And listen to this. It took me a little over seven months. To get my first check, and it was for $34.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Now, you know, a lot of people would have been discouraged, okay?
Uh-huh.
But I was thinking real positively, and that $34, believe it or not, encouraged me to keep going. Because I said to myself, wow, you could really make money doing this. You really can.
What were you selling that you got $34 for?
I was selling pet grooming products.
Pet grooming products. Okay.
Yeah, big market, the pet market, you know. But I remember I got that check. I was so happy. I was thrilled, okay, because that's the first money I had in my hands in a long time.
Yeah.
And I said to my ex-wife, I said, she came home that night from work, and I said, hey, I got my first check, you know. I showed it to her, and she said, that's it.
So tell me, what other things did you sell besides pet grooming products? What was next?
After the pet grooming products, I got into I guess you'd call it a relationship a website, where you would, where people would come and they would find out if they had a problem, they would look up their problem. Find out what they could do about it and so on and so forth.
That was
pretty big itself too.
Well, you know what I hear all the time about dating websites. Everyone I meet nowadays has met their significant other on the internet. Did you get into dating websites?
No, you know, I did a lot of reading on that. And they said like 80% of the people on those things lie when they're telling people about themselves. You know? Like a guy will put down there 6'3", you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, and then the girl meets him and the guy is, you know, 5'4", you know, bald and 300 pounds. So, I mean, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, well then, okay, so you did pet grooming, relationships. What else did you do?
Well, right after that, that's when I started to develop my Over 50 and Broke.
Okay.
At that point, I had put on, like you had mentioned, I had put on like 50 pounds.
Oh, wow.
The only thing I did was sit in front of that computer.
And eat.
You know, all those months. And eat, right?
Yeah. I know the feeling. Been there, done that.
You know, so I was pretty disgusted with myself at that point. I mean, you know, I looked at myself in the mirror. I said, this can't be. This got to go.
How did you lose the weight?
Well, I went on a very, I mean, I developed my own routine. I also have a website. There's a page on my Over 50 and Broke, which is Over 50 and Having a Ball. Okay. I went out and got myself an exercise ball, and I developed my own routine. I did a half hour in the morning, half hour at night. And I did something which I'm going to say, but I don't recommend this to anybody. I ate nothing but salads. That's all I ate for like 3 months. Okay.
3 months
and
of salads.
Salad.
Did you have chicken and shrimp and protein in your salads, or did you just eat veggies?
Once in a while, I would put dice up a little chicken breast in there, but that's it.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And
so
I lost the weight pretty quick, you know, between the exercising and eating nothing but salads. the weight went off pretty quick.
So you would get up in the morning and have a salad for lunch, a salad for dinner, and a salad for a snack?
I have what I have. I get up in the morning, I've had some fruit in the morning,
fruit.
And then a salad for lunch and a salad for dinner, and that was it.
Wow.
I was, you know, you're hungry. At first you get hungry, but after a while your body gets used to it. I guess your stomach shrinks, and the weight starts coming off. It's the exercise is the key. That's what kills me with all these big different Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig and all these weight loss things. There's only one way I know to lose weight, okay? It's you eat less and you move more.
Okay.
That's it. That's
you know,
the only thing that's going to make you lose weight.
You know, Chris, I think we've heard that before. Over and over and over again. Wonderful. You know, we're going to take a break and have a commercial. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the 5 books that are now available on Amazon and how Chris Baca transformed himself into a best-selling author. We'll be right back with Chris Baca.
Could your commute or daily exercise routine use a boost? When was the last time you really got the giggles? This is Adele Park, author of Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook, inviting you to tune in, turn on, and let loose a few good laughs. Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook is about a marijuana enthusiast named Blue McKenna who gets involved in a reality TV show as a way to cure an apocalyptic case of writer's block. A conglomerate of kooky contestants invades the polygamous community of Naval, Utah to compete in a reality show called Yikes. Things get sticky when Blue McKenna's hemp garden is ignited during an ill-fated seance. Find out what's going down in the desert in Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook. Visit www.yikesaudiobook.com to learn more. That's www.yikesaudiobook.com.
Both of Adele Park's audiobooks, Yikes and Jitters, are fantastic, and I highly recommend them. Put them in your car and listen to them when you're driving around. You know, Chris, tell me about how you became an author.
It sort of fell into place when I was learning how to use the computer and building websites and everything. One of the things you have to do is you have to develop what they call backlinks, okay?
Uh-huh.
These are links that point everybody back to my website. So
okay.
In order to do that, I had to start writing articles with the links back to my website in the articles, okay, and different blogs or on the Internet. And I started to get a knack for writing. I said, you know, I really like this. And that's how I got started writing, and I've been writing ever since. I mean, every day I do some type of writing, whether it's an article or, you know, I'm in the process of working on another book, and I just enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
Now, were you able, did you self-publish your books?
Yeah, that's the good part about the Internet. You don't need anybody. You don't need any. You could do everything yourself, no matter what it is. You could do everything yourself on that Internet. It's amazing.
I know.
I have my sister who lives still up in New York. She's a teacher. And I used her to edit the books for me, you know, grammar and spelling and things like that.
Well, nowadays you can pretty much use your spell check to do the spelling and grammar. It's amazing. You know, we have so many people who listen to the show, want to do a book, think about a book, talk about a book. And the reality is you and I both know is you just have to sit down every day and write something, and guess what? Eventually, you'll get your book done. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. And it's amazing once you get, if you're, especially like me, so, you know, if I get in the mood, if I start something, and then I get in the mood, I mean, I could sit there for an hour, 2 hours, just writing. You get that mojo going, and you just got to, nothing's going to stop you. You just keep on writing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's one of the big things, you just have to do it and quit talking about it. And it's so easy. There's no excuse nowadays, as you said earlier, with all of the resources available to writers on the Internet. You just have to get up and do it. Your book, Age Should Never Be an Excuse for Not Succeeding, is a top seller at Amazon. how exciting and what motivated you to write that particular book and that fantastic title?
Well, I'll tell you, it happened when I do seminars. And after the seminars, I would always get people coming, which to me is the best part of seminars, people gathering around me, asking me questions and, you know, helping people along. I love that. I truly love that. And most of them kept asking me, well, when are you going to write a book? When are you going to write a book? Do you have a book out? And I said, you know, I guess I really should. I guess that's the next step. That's what I should do. And I sat down and I put it together. It took me about a month and a half to write that book.
Oh, you're kidding. Now I'm really going to be jealous. That's really cranking it out, dear. I'm very proud of you.
When I get going, I go.
Well, I obviously. Now, you talk about many subjects, and one of them is not to be afraid of the F word.
Now, watch your language, January. Watch your language.
Yeah, there's a lot of F's that could be.
No, the word, don't be afraid of the F word. And it's a whole chapter. It talks about failure. How we should not be afraid of failure. I read, what kept me going a lot too is I read a lot of biographies of people, famous people, that came from nothing or went through hardships and then became something. And I have never read one story of anybody that made a success out of themselves that didn't have a closet full of failures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, failure is something that is part of success. If you don't have any failures, you're not going to have success. And that's proven. Okay. And you got to think of it, the more failures you have, the closer you are getting to success. You know, because through those failures, sooner or later, you're going to hit success. And it's true.
Oh, that is so powerful. And as you know, now that you've been on my show, that's what my show is all about. I love having my guests share their stories, their personal stories, you know, the good, the bad, and especially the ugly, because it's those failures that make a difference. And you, you know, another F word that I love personally, I hadn't thought about failure, but feelings. I also want my guests to share their feelings, because I think that's so important in evolving as a success story. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I said, I mean, the feelings that I went through when I first lost everything, it was terrible. I pretty much thought my life was over. I mean, not literally that I was going to kill myself or anything, but I said, you know what, I'm 57 years old, I lost everything, I have nothing. You know, what the hell is life throwing at me here? You know, I have nothing. And, but you have to get over it. You just have to. Like I did, you know, you either kick yourself in the ass or slap yourself in the face and say, wake up, you got to do something, you know, and that's what did it for me.
Well, you know, there's so many wonderful things in your book, things that people will learn from your book. One of the things that I also like reading biographies, because I love hearing about people who have struggled and succeeded. And you write about Ray Kroc, who is one of the people that did not become successful until their golden years. And there's so many people like that. Colonel Sanders is one of them, isn't he?
Yeah. He, as a matter of fact, he went through bankruptcy. He went through job after job during his life. And he didn't start Kentucky Fried Chicken until he got his first Social Security check at age 65.
You're kidding.
Yeah, that's the truth. When he turned 65 and he got his first Social Security check, he went out on the road and started to push his Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, my gosh. And what about Ray Kroc? How old was he?
He was like 53. And for those who don't know who Ray Kroc is out there, that's McDonald's guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He also went through a variety of jobs when he was younger. And when he was in his 50s, 51, 52, he got a job selling malted milk mixers, you know, malted milk machines. And he was doing canvassing, trying to sell his machines, and he went to this hamburger place, which was the McDonald brothers. And lo and behold, the rest is history, you know.
You've write about where's the beef, since we're talking about McDonald's, where's the beef, getting into the heart of what it takes to lift yourself up. Why do you think successful people are successful? Luck? Sure, there's a little amount of luck in everything. But to think it's just lucky, well, then you're in denial. Elaborate on people who are waiting for their ship to come in or waiting to win the lottery.
Well, you know, it's funny you should mention that. One of the guys that hit the big Powerball this past week, that I was watching him on the news, and he says, my prayers are my answer. This is I've been praying this for my retirement. So sometimes it works out for you, you know. So don't count on it. Don't count on it.
Yeah, not usually.
Yeah, but there's luck in everything, in all success. I mean, there really is. There's an old saying, the harder I work, the luckier I get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the more you're going to put into it, the easier it's going to become. I talk about one of the guys I talk about in my book is Sylvester Stallone.
Uh-huh.
Now, a lot of people didn't know, but, you know, he's a New York kid. He's from New York. And when he was a struggling actor, he was dirt poor. I mean, he used to sleep in the subways. He used to sleep in Central Park on the bench. I mean, but he kept on going and going and going. He was persistent, and it finally paid off. But there's luck involved, but there's also a lot of work, and work is the key.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's also very important, you also point out that it's important to push your troubles aside before reinventing yourself. You must clear out the cobwebs. I think you have to get yourself out of the negativity and into a positive frame of mind.
Exactly. I mean, you can't expect to become successful if all you got on your mind, if all you're thinking is negative thoughts. It's impossible. It's impossible to move ahead if all you're thinking is negatively. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know, how am I going to eat, or I got to pay the rent, or how am I going to do this? I mean, it's very hard to do. It's one of the hardest things I had to do is to clear everything from my mind. Like you say, all the cobwebs. I said, once you clear your mind out, and once you do that and you hit that point where you have a positive mental attitude, you have to keep it going. Because we live in a negative world, and negativity is all around. I mean, to this day, I read positive mental attitude books, articles, everything. Okay, everything that's going to keep my mind positive and sharp. Because as soon as you let it, you skip it, you'd be surprised how fast, bang, you're right back into that negativity again, and it's going to bring you down.
It's so easy to slip back into it. We're going to take a break and have a commercial. When we come back with Chris Vacca, I want to talk to him about one of his chapters that says, no one ever said life was going to be fair. Winners are not whiners. Also, we're going to ask Chris what success means to him, if he has any regrets and advice for our listeners. We'll be right back with Chris Vacca.
Second time around can be better. Second timers try harder. Looking to have a rewarding second marriage? Any marriage. Read Successful Second Marriages by Patricia Bubash. She interviews a variety of couples that have succeeded in their second attempt. Each story reflects that the second marriages can be tough going, yet be the best of the best. Learn from these couples who share their intimate stories, how they struggled with difficulty and have thrived. Stories such as, our kids drove us apart. We separated 5 times in 4 years. 4 months into our marriage, my 85-year-old father-in-law came to live with us. 1 year into our marriage, I was diagnosed legally blind. Death of my eldest child brought grief, depression into our new marriage. Successful Second Marriages is encouraging, hopeful, inspiring. Available on Amazon.com in book form and ebook. Read Pat's musings at www.successfulsecondmarriages.com.
Pat's book's fantastic, and I can speak from experience, since I am in a second marriage and will be celebrating our 43rd wedding anniversary. Tell me, Chris, have you had a second marriage in your life?
Once is enough for me, thank you.
Well done. Okay.
You never know what's going to happen in the future, but believe me, that is so far removed from my mind that...
Right, yeah. Well, you know, never say never.
That's right.
Let's talk about your chapter, No One Ever Said Life Was Going to Be Fair. Whiners are not winners, which is what my mantra is. I love that chapter. Tell us about it.
Yes, I'll tell you. One of the things that I'm amazed about is, like I said, when I do my seminars and, you know, people gather around me and start asking me questions and everything like that, people cry about it. I mean, they make excuses, okay? They make excuses for everything in life. All right. I call it a disease that circulates around the country, and it's called excusitis. Everybody seems to have excusitis. You know, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too short, I have no hair, my hair's too long, my eyes are green. I mean, they find everything to complain about. And, you know, the only thing that they need to worry about, they look in the mirror. It's old cliche, it's been said 1,000 times, but if you look in the mirror, that's your enemy right there. That's the one.
Oh, okay.
Not anything else. You can't blame anybody else for your failures. It's you. You own it. When you take control, when you own your failures, then you could be successful. If you start blaming other people, you'll never learn from your success, from your failures.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
FAIL
stands for first attempt in learning. So you got to learn. You got to learn from your failures.
And talk about. I always advocate that people try to find their passion, because I feel that once you find your passion, it's no longer work. It's something you enjoy so much. It's something you'd probably do for free, and you probably do it for free. Don't you agree that passion in your life is so very, very important in order to be a success?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you got to worry about what you do, get up, oh, no, I got to go to work again, or, oh, no, I have to get on a computer, or, you know, complain about what you're doing. If you don't like it, forget it. You'll never be a success. I mean, I truly love what I'm doing. I mean, I can't wait to get up in the morning. As a matter of fact, I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning, jumping on that computer, ready to go to work.
You sound like you're my twin lost at birth, because I have the same feeling. I can't wait to get out of bed and get on the computer. Now, who would have ever thought at our age that we would become addicted to computers?
It's amazing. I just love, you know, I love writing. Like I say, I write. I have my website. I plan my my seminars and things like that. And I just love what I'm doing.
Let me ask you a question. Your seminars. Let's give your website information and tell everyone where they can get your book.
Okay. The website is www.over50andbroke.com. That's over50andbroke.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you could go there. You could get my book right from the website, or you could go to Amazon and get it.
Okay.
My email address is on there. If anybody needs any help getting started or anything like that, I'd be more than happy to help you. And if you do that, just don't worry if I don't get back to you right away, because I get a lot of emails. So,
yeah, I bet.
You know, what I try to do the first thing in the morning is I try to hit all the emails that I can, because I got a full, you know, full mailbox. So I have to go through them. So if you do email me, I mean, if you don't hear from me right away, just be patient. I'll get back to you eventually.
Okay. And, do you send out a newsletter?
I don't have any newsletter. I'm gonna start that, though. I don't have one at the present moment, but I thought about that recently, and I'm starting to put one together.
Okay. And tell me about your seminars. Are they one-day seminars? Are they just in the Florida area, or do you travel?
Right now, they're just in the Florida area. I'm trying to build it up. I'm trying to do national is what I'm trying to do. Eventually. That's one of my goals.
Oh, I can see that happening, because if you were doing a seminar in my town, I would sign up, and I know a lot of my older friends who are over 50 and maybe not so broke would sign up too, because I'm sure you do have to charge for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, when I first started doing them, I started doing them for free. Free seminars, because I really didn't know what I was doing. I was kind of nervous, so I didn't feel like I could charge anything. So I did, I think I did two or three free. And after I started to feel confident with myself, then I started to charge. First, uh-huh. first one I charged was like $10 a person. Now, a little bit more.
Yeah,
a little bit more.
Right. Now, do you have any regrets?
The only regret that I think I might have is that I didn't start this earlier in life.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a spiritual guy. I thank God that I found what I'm doing. Okay. It took me to lose everything before I found it, but I truly believe that everything happens in life for a reason. And, you know, that old saying of when life hands you lemons, you make lemonade, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, yeah.
As far as regrets, I think that's the only regret. What I'm doing now, I love what I'm doing. I enjoy it so much. I could see myself doing this into my whenever, until I die.
Whenever.
You know, 80s,
well,
or whatever. You know,
I'll be right there with you, because here I am going into my 70s with a successful radio show. So anything is possible. I think all you have to do is put it out into the universe, and things will happen. What does success mean to you now, today, right now, Chris, as we're speaking?
Success to me is not having to worry about the future. Okay, not having to worry about the future and being happy. Being happy, enjoy what you're doing, and not having to worry about the future. Or not having to worry that the knock on the door is they're going to come and turn off my cable or something, which I went through already in life, you know. I'll tell you, always, when you can't pay anything, the first thing to go is always the cable.
Yeah. Well, that would probably make sense.
Yeah.
It's up to you, and we are what we make ourselves. And you state in your book that we are responsible for being poor or rich, and that means only we can change it. Did you ever think you would become this successful?
I dreamt about it a lot of times, Dreaming about it and pursuing it is two different things. A lot of people dream about things, you know, or they say, you know, I wish I had that, I wish I had this, or I wish I could do this. But, you know, wishing for it and hoping for it doesn't get it. You have to chase it. You have to go out and grab it. I mean, that's the only way you're going to be successful with anything. I don't care what you try to do.
Right. Well, you have given us some really, really great advice. And, Chris, you truly are a priceless personality, and it has been my pleasure to share you with my listeners. I love what your comment was on change, a simple six-letter word, but probably the hardest thing a human being ever has to do. And you are living proof that people can change. They can change their lives, and they can create new adventures at any age. Don't you agree?
Oh, the world is literally your oyster.
Okay? Yeah, I love it.
I'm telling you, the world is literally your oyster. With this computer, I am still amazed by it to this day. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm years into it now, I'm still amazed by what it can do. And, everybody out there should just, the only thing I could tell you, if you have a dream, if there's something you really want to do, just go at it full force.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just do it. That's the only way you're going to get it done. Sitting there and wishing and hoping and talking about it doesn't get it done. Action gets it done.
Get up and do it. Thank you, Chris, for coming on my show, and thank you for sending me a delightful email, which prompted me to invite you on the show, and I hope that you will come back and visit with us again many more times.
Oh, January, anytime. I had a really great time. I truly did. I thank you.
I did, too. This is like talking to an old friend.
Yeah, it is. That's how I feel, too.
Yeah. To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our conversation today with Chris Baca. My upcoming guests for the rest of the week are all exciting, energizing, eclectic. They will amaze, amuse, and they will even astonish you. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories, struggles, and secrets for success. We hope we can encourage our listeners to emulate our guests today and every day. Now, remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate, and then maybe a little bit of salad like Chris. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Chris Baca. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.